Our first reading this morning is from the book of, from the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verses 19 through 21. After being saved by God from the Pharaoh's armies, Miriam offers thanksgiving to God in a song. Let us listen together for God's word. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and cavalry went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters from the sea over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand. All the women followed her, playing tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang the refrain back to them. Sing to the Lord for an overflowing victory. Horse and rider, he threw them into the sea. Our second reading this morning is a repeat of our first reading last week, which comes to us from Paul's first letter to the church of Thessalonica, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And it reads, Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ.
So our gospel reading this morning comes to us from Luke's gospel, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Let us listen together for God's word. Jesus told this parable to certain people who had convinced themselves that they were righteous and who looked on everyone else with disgust. Two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed about himself with these words, God, I thank you that I'm not like everyone else. Crooks, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I receive. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to look toward heaven. Rather, he struck his chest and said, God, show mercy to me, a sinner. I tell you, this person went down to his home justified rather than the Pharisee. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. May God bless the reading and hearing of this God's holy word. Let's be together in prayer. Oh my God, it's been a busy morning filled with music and prayer, filled with a collection of abundant food for our missions outreach program. We've just broken open the Word and read three different stories. It's been a lot, so help us to focus. Give us clarity of mind, give us your presence, give us a sense of peace and growth and transformation. Amen. So last Sunday, we began a short two-part sermon series on giving thanks. Last week, we focused on giving thanks in hard times, and I made three main points. The first point is that as followers of Jesus Christ, we're called to give thanks not for our suffering, but from our suffering. So not for our suffering, but from our suffering. That when we give thanks from our suffering, we make space in our lives for what we need most in that moment. A recognition that God is with us right there in the middle of the muck of life. And when we do that, when we give thanks from suffering and make room for God, the fruit of that, as Paul told us in Philippians chapter 4, is nothing less than the peace that passes all understanding. So there's a connection here between thanksgiving in hard times and a deep, deep peace. So this week we continue our discussion of giving thanks, but I want to shift our focus this morning from giving thanks in hard times to giving thanks in good times. And the difference is, as I see it, is this, that because it's hard to give thanks in hard times, the question becomes for us if we're going to do it. In hard times, are we going to be those who give thanks? In good times, though, it's easier. The praise comes quicker and more easily. And so the question moves from if we're going to give thanks to become how we're going to give thanks. So I think about the actress who is up for an Oscar award. She's a nominee. And they go to announce the names, and the actress finds out that she's lost, that the award has gone to somebody else. She is sad and emotional, and there's a real question here is if she'll have the strength, the ability to give thanks in this very difficult time in her life. But say the same person wins the award, and after they call her name, what happens? She gets up, and they ask her to go to the front of the stage and stand at the podium where she gives thanks. She gives thanks to the crew and the producer and maybe to mom, and that's just expected. So when she goes up there, the question isn't if she's going to give thanks, it's just how she's going to do it. And we oftentimes hear those stars who kind of flub it and do it wrong, right? So is she going to give thanks to the director, the crew? Is she going to give thanks to mom, or is she going to commit a faux pas and forget somebody really important and probably forget somebody who gave all the money for the movie, which is a really bad thing to do? Will she give thanks rightly? So I think it's true that in hard times, the question probably is if we're going to give thanks, and in good times, the question more likely is how we're going to give thanks. So let's think about that a little bit this morning, to think about how, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to give thanks. And the scripture readings that we just read give us two examples of people in scripture who give thanks. In the Luke passage, though, the example for us is a negative one. In the Exodus passage, the example for us is a positive one. Let's start with the Luke parable. So I love it. It starts off and it says, Jesus is talking to people who looked down on others, right? And so he tells them this really biting parable, actually, which might have meant his life, but it didn't, at least then. But he tells this parable and he says, two men are going up to the temple to pray. The first man, when he prays, he gives thanks to God. Thank you for not making me like these other people. Thank you for making me so great. Right? It's just a wonderful, wonderful prayer. The other guy gets up, though, and when he prays, he just says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The parable ends, and Jesus says, whoever humbles themselves will be exalted, and whoever exalts themselves will be humble. Sort of a cut on the first person in the parable. So anyway, when we look at this, the first man obviously, you know, gives thanks in a way that's a pretty negative thing. I mean, he's judgmental, he's self-interested, he's self-focused, negative, and I think ultimately destructive. When we see this person, it's easy to distance ourselves and say, look at this scumbag, man, I would never give thanks like that. I'm not like him, which kind of puts us in his shoes, actually. And I think if we're being honest with ourselves, I think it's true that you and me and us, we're capable of and sometimes do give thanks in ways that are negative and destructive. Well, thanks for nothing, we might say, if somebody doesn't give us what we want. Thank you so much, we might say facetiously. Or thanks, we might say through gritted teeth. Right? We do this. Now you're looking at me like only I do this. We all do this. Come on. Right? We're all in the same boat. We all give thanks like this. So I think it's true. I think we are all capable of and sometimes do give thanks in a way that's negative and destructive. So now we turn to the other end of the Thanksgiving spectrum, which is our story from Exodus chapter 15. It's Miriam's song, right? It's actually maybe one of the oldest passages that we have in Scripture. It's extremely ancient, very, very ancient. And whenever I find a passage that's that old And I realized that people have valued that for so many years. It kind of puts a little star by it for me. It says, listen to me. Listen to me. I think Miriam has something to teach us here this morning. So it's helpful to know why Miriam is singing. So the Israelites had been in Egyptian bondage, slavery for a long time. They want out. God wants them out. And so God sends Moses and a series of plagues to Egypt, which finally makes Pharaoh relent and free the Israelites. So they go off wandering in the wilderness, led by God and by Moses, but Pharaoh has a change of heart and decides to send his armies out into after the Israelites to kill them. So this is when we get the big moment where Charlton Heston, Moses, is at the Red Sea and parts the waves, and the Israelites cross over on dry land, and they get to the other side safe, but then Pharaoh's armies start across, and they come across to kill them. But then the waves close in and they envelop Pharaoh's armies and sweep them off to their doom. It's this monumentally important moment in the history of Israel and God's people where Pharaoh's armies are finally defeated and the people are liberated by the God of liberation. So the only thing left to do, of course, right, is to celebrate and to sing, and that's exactly what Miriam does. And she has this short little song, right? Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Rider and horse have been thrown into the sea. That's it. Simple, short, concise, intense joy, intense praise, right from the real events of the real lives of her and her people. So we have two examples here, right? The first man giving thanks in this negative and destructive way, and Miriam giving thanks in a positive way, which makes the point, I hope, that I'm trying to make, that all ways of giving thanks are not equal. So when we go to give thanks, when we do what it is that Paul calls us to do, to give thanks in all circumstances, the question becomes for us, how are we going to do that? What choice are we going to make in how to give thanks? So I want you to walk out of here this morning with three simple points that you can carry in your pocket, put on your keychain, and to bring out with you in this week of Thanksgiving to help you reflect more deeply on this act of giving thanks. So, first, I offer you this, that when we go to give thanks, I think it's important that we are God-focused, right? Simple enough, that we're God-focused. God is the creator. God provides abundance for us all the time. Do you realize that rain, water, the thing that we need to live, rains from the sky all the time? I mean, the thing we need most just literally rains from the sky. How amazing is that when it's not destroying our barbecues? It's a pretty incredible thing. So God provides all this amazing abundance for us, sustains us all the time, and yet maybe because it's so available all the time for us that sometimes we forget that and we forget the God who provides it for us. And maybe more often we give thanks not to God, but we give thanks for things and circumstances and people. Thank you, sun, for shining today. Thank you, boss, for my raise. Now, that's not a bad thing to do. It's a good thing to do, to give thanks to people and to circumstances and to things, and I hope we do that often. But when we give thanks for people, things, and circumstances, I hope we also remember to give thanks to God, the one who made all of it possible and provides for us all the time in so many ways. So in our Thanksgiving, let's be focused on God. Second, when we go to give thanks, it's important that we give thanks in a way that creates and strengthens relationships. Right? So look at the parable in Luke with the first guy. He goes to pray and he gives thanks for all these horrible people and thanks for making me so wonderful. It distances himself from his neighbors, right? It puts him in a position of superiority, and it's a negative way of interacting with those people. It pushes them aside and it destroys relationships. Miriam, though, when she sings, man, she's full of joy. She's up dancing and singing, and all the other women are up dancing and singing and banging on tambourines. It's this great community event of joyful thanksgiving that certainly deepens Miriam's relationship with God and with the Israelites to God and with one another as well. This great moment of joy over this important historical victory builds that community in powerful ways to the point we're still talking about them today. So when we give thanks, it's important to give thanks in a way that doesn't destroy relationships, but creates them and strengthens them. Lastly, when we go to give thanks, I think it's important to give thanks in specific and concrete ways. Right? So Miriam, when she gives thanks, look at her short little prayer. Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and rider have been thrown into the sea. No floweriness, very direct, very much right out of the flow of the real lives of her and her people. Very concrete, very specific. Even Luke 18, the fellow that is not exactly the model for how to give thanks, he even is very specific. Thanks for not making me a sinner and an adulterer. Very specific, very concrete. So why? What's the point of giving thanks in specific and concrete ways? Well, think about this. When we give thanks in generalities and abstractions, you know, when we give thanks like, thank you, God, for the stars in the sky, for the planets hung in orbit, for the wind that blows across the world. Right? It's beautiful. It's poetic. It says something about God and us and the world we live in, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what if we prayed like this? God, thank you for this bowl of Raisin Bran. Thank you for my husband who brought it to me. Thank you for the time this morning to feed my body. Amen. You see, the abstract, generalized thanksgiving, it's God-focused, but it keeps God on the margin, sort of out there or over there. But when we give thanks in specific and concrete ways about the real stuff in our life, that moves God from the margins right to the center of our lives and of our heart. Thank you, God, for this parking spot so close to the door in the rain. You know you're going to say that this week. Although it's Thanksgiving, so you won't find that at the grocery store anyway. Yeah. So I think it's true that Paul was right when he called us to give thanks in all circumstances. But the question becomes for us, once we move beyond the if stage, the question becomes how. How do we give thanks in all circumstances? And so as you move into this week of Thanksgiving, I hope that you'll remember these 3 points that I've given you, which are not comprehensive. They're not the only ways to give thanks, and there's certainly many good and right and true ways to do that. But I offer you these. When you go to give thanks, give thanks with a focus on God in a way that creates and strengthens relationships and in a way that's specific and concrete about real people in your real life. Easy. So, here at the end of the sermon, let's not just talk about giving thanks, let's actually do it. And I'll lead us in a Thanksgiving prayer. Beloved and present God, we are because you are, and all we have comes from you. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for revealing yourself in the actions of our loved ones. Thank you for the breath in our lungs, the food in our pantries, and the time to enjoy it. Thank you for hard times that awaken us to you, for the good times that move us to sing your praises, and thank you for this time and this place and these people. And thank you for you, God in Christ. Thank you for the gift that is you. Amen.